Hi, and welcome back to A Double-Sided Story. I'm Lilia.
I'm Eleanor.
And this is an extra special episode.
Yes, it is the first time we are ever recording in person. You're, like, right here.
Yeah, we're, like, in the same room.
High-five me so we prove it. Hello!
We also have a super cool new mic, so that hopefully our audio doesn't sound awful.
Yeah, literally, the AirPod mics are so mid.
Yeah, so... We're upgrading here at Double-Sided Story. Oh. And other important thing, one of us just reached 19.
Hello. 19. We're both 19 now. Yeah, December birthday, Sagittarius supremacy. That's all I have to say
Libra
about
Libra supremacy.
It. It's okay, no one talks about Sagittarians.
There's nothing wrong with being a Sagittarius.
No, I
was gonna say, no Sagittarius slander, but Libra supremacy.
No, because for some reason I'm friends with so many Libras.
It's because Libras are great.
I think I just tend to work with Libras. Not that I actually believe in it, I just think it's very fun.
Yeah, it's not that we actually are, like, super big believers in all of this as much as just... It's really fun to look at Zodiac stuff.
Yeah. But I was just saying, like, Sagittarians get left out of a lot of the... Like, if it's the signs as outfits and then there's only, like, let's say six of them, Sagittarius is never in that six.
I always see it as, like, I see a lot of, like, it'll be 10 of them, and they just don't put the last, like, they skip two just because it's, like, Instagram or whatever, mm-hmm. which is so annoying to me. I'm, like, either do, like...
A two-parter of six.
I follow one astrology account that, like, every post they do the double posts and, like, six and six, and I'm, like, this is a good astrology account. One, you get double engagement because you have two posts, mm-hmm. and they're
it's
all...
It's just smarter.
Yeah, and, like, two, you include everyone. It's... Logic. Mm-hmm. This is so weird recording, like, actually with you. Like,
yeah, and I can, like, see your facial expression. It's kind of cool.
Like, it's so super cool, but it's a little strange. And we're about to start 2024.
Yep, and that is what is related to our topic, which is 2024 predictions. We're probably going to try and cover a lot of predictions, like, for ourselves, for maybe in celebrities.
Yeah, I want to talk about celebrity predictions and stuff.
Taylor and Kelsey.
I saw someone predicting a Taylor marriage.
Huh? That strikes me as not very much like her, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe we start with personal just because, like, you know, start small, get broad.
My personal, I would like to do just as well or better this semester as I did last semester, because I did do pretty well. I'm proud of myself.
I choose to predict.
Not to flex.
It's fine, you're not flexing. I don't want to say I'm picky. I don't get crushes on people very easily. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen super often that I actually like someone. And I'm not saying this is a problem.
Yeah, no.
I'd like to have a relationship in 2024. I haven't had one since, what was that?
It was 2021?
2021, yeah.
Just barely ended.
She doesn't actually listen to this.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So therefore, you can say whatever you want. No, I'm kidding.
She's one of my closest friends. You know, what am I gonna say besides she's short?
You know how the fucking queers are. Kidding, not homophobic.
You know, nothing wrong with my current friend group. I like the people I talk to, but I want to have a more solid group. That generally makes me happier.
I think that actually in college, I've actually fallen in with a pretty decent group as of before break. Like, I'm not sure which of them listen or if any of them listen, but if you are listening, I love all of you.
Yeah. I have absolutely no problems with any of the people I'm, like, hang out with. They are good friends of mine. But it's a little weird. It's a lot of people who I don't think I ever would have been friends with if it wasn't for, like, running into them at Hillel. I want to find more people with some common interests. I want to get closer with some of the people, like, I started to make friends with, make friendships and relationships with right before the break. Like, there were some people that I just started to get to know that I want to get closer to. So, yeah, I choose to predict that 2024 me, by the end of the year, is going to be a lot more solid in her place in the world. You know, maybe I don't have a huge friend group, maybe I don't have, like, a solid idea of everything, but I want to feel comfortable with where I am by the end of the year. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Focus moments as opposed to just insanity for mm-hmm. an hour.
Yeah, just us going off. And, like, I don't know, yeah, I feel like it's still silly at moments, but yeah. It's gotten more emotionally complex because it's not like we're 16 anymore.
Yeah. We also, you know, I like that we have more serious topics. Don't get me wrong, I love, you know, ones where we're just telling stories from our lives. Mm-hmm. Those are fun.
We could do more of those in 20. Yeah. We didn't really do them, even though I love the personality test episode. That was so fun.
Yeah.
That was so fun. This is something a little personal, but I don't mind sharing it. In 2024, I hope to have higher self-esteem about my physical appearance and just love my body and appearance a little more throughout 2024. And I just hope to get a little better with that because I feel like it would make me a lot happier. And I feel like we all just want to be happy in the coming year.
Yeah. I want to find better coping skills. You know, it's been a rough year. Not even a rough year. A rough couple months for a number of reasons that I obviously am not going to get into on the internet. Possibly more information about that. If I do get that to happen, I will be plugging it on the podcast, I hope you know.
No, I'm all right with that. I want to finish my book by the end of 2024. And I think that's a reasonable goal.
Yeah, that's a whole nother 12 year. Months.
And, well, because the thing is, I haven't written in so long, and I'm so mad at myself for it. And, like, I keep trying to motivate myself, and then it just doesn't happen. So I hope I can do that by the end of 2024. I'm over halfway through writing it, so. But I haven't written my novel in, like, a long time.
Yeah, but we were just talking about how quickly December's gone by, and it's been so chaotic. It's our first time doing college finals. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to take breaks sometimes, you know? You'll come back to it with fresh eyes, and you'll be able to write some stuff.
Yeah. So that, do we have any, like, predictions?
Ooh, predictions? For ourselves.
You will go blonde at some point.
I give it 4 days into 2024 until I go blonde. Predictions. I predict I'm gonna look a little different by the end of 2024. You know, I've been really experimenting, like, recently. Like, when I say recently, I mean, like, the past 2 weeks. Been, like, you know, looking at new hair stuff and new makeup ideas and new clothing and new everything else. I think I might have, I don't want to say a different aesthetic, I still want to be me. That is always the risk. I started to change my look up a little bit going into college, and I felt so uncomfortable in my skin, I didn't feel like myself, that I had to actually, like, take a few weeks and rebuild myself a little bit. You know, I went out and bought new boots, and I went out and, you know, got new eyeliner.
Retail therapy.
Yeah. Just.
It works.
Not just retail therapy, though, but, like, specifically going back into my old aesthetic a little bit, because I hadn't been there, and I don't want to completely change my aesthetic, I don't want to change who I am, but I think it might be good to have more variations on how I dress.
That's what I was going to say, is your style has gotten a lot more diverse in the last, like, 6 months.
It has.
And I think that's a good thing.
I do, too, to a degree. I think I don't need to push it as far as I was trying to, because I had this whole mentality about, I need to be a different person now that I'm going to college, and I don't need to be a different person.
I feel like a lot of people deal with that, though.
Yeah. But I don't need to be a different person, but I think it's okay for me to expand who I am. I can wear other colors besides black sometimes.
You're wearing green and blue.
I'm wearing green and blue right now. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
So many colors.
I predict that I will make some more friends, because I'm in a theater class next semester, and we're both theater kids. I mean, okay, I don't know, I feel like I'm somewhere around the theater kid group, and I've always gotten along with theater people, because theater people, you share a stage with someone and you're linked. Like, it's sort of the deepest connection you can get. Is sharing a stage, whether it be with an instrument or acting or anything like that, or dance. I feel like it just automatically creates friendships. And I'm in a theater class next semester, so I'm predicting I will make some more friends.
Side note, this is going to be cut, but just make sure you're speaking up. Sorry, I was watching the waves so you can see how much you're being picked up. Yeah, and there were a couple times you get a little quiet, so. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm just being very cognizant of how my mom is working right now.
No, you're good. Just like. Hello. That's probably going to be cut. I'm sorry for you. Your
wow. Oh, I don't have the ducks. I'll load that up while we keep talking.
Okay, other predictions for me for the new year. I hope I have the same job. I like my job. I hope it stays the same. I hope I have some new friends, but those are hopes. What am I predicting? I'm gonna start having some good college stories. I feel like I don't have any great stories yet. I'm gonna have some good stories.
I've heard a few of mine.
Yeah. I can't imagine I get through a whole year, though, and not have some good stories. Like, exactly. That's...
I believe in that. I want to get a few more, because it's not like I have a million.
Yeah. I mean, it's one semester so far.
We've got time. We've got time. And I feel like a lot of first semester is settling in.
It really is.
So...
I'm hoping I feel more settled and, like, am able to get out a little more. I want to explore more of DC. I'm going to predict I'm going to have new places in DC that I am comfortable in. Am I doxing myself by saying I'm in DC?
No, you've said more than that. You said you go to Gay U.
Oh, you're so right, I have.
So, do you think that's good for personal predictions?
Yeah, I mean, we might come back to it. We know okay. us.
Any, like, shallow style predictions? Or hopes, even?
What do you mean?
We were just talking about how we hope, hate to say it, bland color trends go away. Plain, that's a better choice.
I hope we get some weird, super bold avant-garde type trend, especially in makeup. Like, I want one of those avant-garde makeup girlies to go super viral. And then everyone be like, oh, but what if we did, like, an avant-garde inspired thing? And you know it's not going to be as dramatic as that sounds, because everyone's going to tone it down a ton once it's going to become sanitized, for sure. But I think it would be so fun.
I think... that might happen, because this one, like, very colorful, not very neutral makeup brand just blew up on TikTok. So, maybe. It could.
Yeah, I predict more colors. You know what? I'm gonna say, I think sage green has been really trendy the past couple years, and then, like, you know, I think, like, this very neutral peach beigey color was the color of the year, and I think next year's color of the year is gonna be something bold and vibrant and cool-toned. This is my prediction. We're gonna have, like, a nice cool-toned blue, and it's gonna go viral. When I say cool-toned, I don't mean, like, super, I know.
Cool-toned blue, it's cool just tone, blue.
I know! But, like, it's gonna be a bold blue. I think that's gonna be the color of the year. I think it's gonna get super trendy. Mm-hmm. Gonna kill me if that does happen. I have red hair right now. I do not look good in blue. I look like an American flag.
Well, you represent your college.
Gay you.
Kaka!
Kaka!
I tried my best. Just kidding. Dukes for the win. I'm okay supporting y'all because y'all don't have a football team and it's not like we play you.
Virginia Tech, which is where my brother went, and AU played each other in basketball last week. It was a hard time to be my parents. My brother and I were fighting.
And hope that sort of mid-length shorts will go out.
Yeah, I hope
most shorts become pretty short on me.
Yeah. That is another personal hope prediction. I hope I become more comfortable in just wearing whatever the frickety frack I want, as opposed to feeling the need to, like, dress a certain way. Like, I always wear long pants, even in the summer. Like, I want to be more comfortable wearing what I want and not... I want to feel more comfortable in myself.
So, we're both looking for a little confidence growth.
Oh, yeah. A little confidence.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Like, as confident as you present yourself, like, you know me, I present myself very confidently. We all have insecurities, and we all hope to be more confident, because just liking yourself feels good. You know? If you like yourself, you're inside your own body all the time. So, if you like yourself, there's always that little boost. And I'm not saying I don't like myself. Because, admittedly, there was a time in my life where I didn't, but, and that's not now. But if it could improve, even a little bit, that would make me very happy.
Ooh, I hope I have more chances to dress up in 2024.
Me too. I love getting dressed up.
Dude, I'm really excited for formals. I'm excited for some formals. I had a black tie gala a couple weeks ago, for this acting troupe I'm a part of, and... I forgot to bring one of my long dresses. It was so embarrassing. I was wearing a cocktail dress to a black tie gala. Hurt my soul a little bit. Please know, they did say, because college students, they were like, as close to black tie as you can get, and that, like, ton of people were there wearing shorter dresses. Not everyone was wearing floor length. Some of the alumni, because alumni were invited to it, showed up in, like, jeans and a t-shirt, and I'm like, that's a little awkward for you, like... You're a full 40-year-old adult. And you showed up at a black tie gala. In jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, I... Okay, I hope taller heels come back in. Because I'm so... When I was looking for prom shoes, it was kitten heel, kitten heel, kitten heel, and full shade button. Hate kitten heels. I won't wear anything shorter than 3.5. No way. I'm not one of those tall women who's afraid of heels.
Yeah, I hope I have more occasions to wear heels, though.
Love
heels. I brought a ton of mine to college, frankly, because I like to get dressed up, and I find my reasons to get dressed up, and I like to put on a little pair of heels and, like, look all cute, and I needed my options. I have way too many shoes at college because I need my options. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds so freshman of me.
You know, well, we are freshmen. Don't we be are afraid freshmen. Of sounding freshmen. Oh my god. My boyfriend and I are going to a, like, nice dinner New Year's, and he did not bring home any dress shoes, and of course men have, like, four pairs of shoes. So, there was a little bit of controversy with that. It's gonna be fine, but and that was just a side note. Like, I totally forgot men have four pairs of shoes.
I don't get it. Like, I don't get... There are a lot of people I know at college who, like, didn't bring a single nicer outfit or only brought one that they just rewear for every, like, nicer occasion. And, listen, I go to a bougie private school.
Yeah, don't even try to sugarcoat it.
I was trying to figure out how to phrase it, but, I get dressed up about once a week. I'd say, to be fair, that is for services, like, religious services, and not everyone gets super dressed up for those, but, like, I have had multiple occasions to get full glam, you know, gone to symphony orchestras.
Jealous.
Like, symphony orchestras, again, religious services, the Black Tie Gala. These aren't, like, incredibly common. We are still college students, but, like, it's not like there's nothing. And I don't get the people who are just, like, one skirt, one nicer shirt. I'm like, what do you... Options? Options? Why do you not have options?
Would we like to discuss some predictions for upcoming movies in 2024?
Ooh.
Easy one, start with Mean Girls Musical.
Regina George is gonna be gay. That's all but confirmed. That is not a controversial statement. That's all but confirmed. Literally.
By who?
The song that they released that's part of the credit scene where it's called It's Not My Fault.
I didn't know it was, like, actually in the movie.
Yeah, it's called Not My Fault. It's
I love Megan.
Yeah. Have you listened to it yet?
No, but I've read the lyrics.
Yeah, where it literally says, "Can a gay girl get an amen?" Mm-hmm. Said by Renee Rapp, who plays Regina George mm-hmm. in the movie, and it's part of the movie, so.
The thing is, I think it may or it might not. Rapp being gay.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying all but confirmed, but it's in the movie, which is what makes it. And it's, mm-hmm. like, in the whole chorus, is like, it's not my fault you're, like, in love with me, which is, of course, a line from the original movie. I think Mean Girls musical, honestly, is gonna disappoint some people.
I'm scared it's gonna suck, because I think it is legitimately possible that it's gonna suck.
I think they're making a mistake not marketing it as a musical. I saw a thing about this. Sorry, I'm gonna go on a tangent because this is so fascinating to me. A lot of movie musicals that are coming out right now, like The Color Purple, which I've heard great things about, Wonka, I'm gonna say Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, although that's controversial over whether that's a musical. It's a movie with a lot of music. You know, Wonka, The Color Purple, Mean Girls, they're all kind of hiding the fact that they're a movie musical, and the theory is that it's because of movie musicals like Cats and Dear Evan Hansen that failed.
Mm-hmm.
Those I haven't movies. Seen either one. I was gonna say, I haven't either, so I speak from what I've heard. Those movies did not fail because they are musicals. They failed because they suck.
Okay, but the thing is, I feel like people have the tendency to go in expecting to hate a remake. And I feel like that might sway writing.
Yeah. Mayhaps.
Like, because I try not to do that. I try and give remakes or, you know, reboots a shot. Even though a lot of the time it's disappointing. Because people don't like change. And I'm a little worried that's going to happen with the ratings for Mean Girls.
Yeah. You know, all of the advertising being, like, it's not your mother's Mean Girls, all of that, I think it's gonna be pretty different. They've also cut a ton of songs from the musicals. I am worried people are gonna be disappointed, because, I'm sorry, the music from the musical it comes across as a little, I don't want to say juvenile, because that makes it sound younger than it is, and it's not young, it's very much aimed at a younger audience, though, like, middle high school. It is not aimed at a...
When I listened, it is more family-friendly than the movie is.
Yeah.
Because most of the, like, it's more innuendos rather than outright.
Yeah.
But that's not really relevant when talking about the reception, but...
But it is. I think it's aimed at a, like, middle, early high school audience as opposed to, like...
It's not like Mean Girls, is it?
Yeah, I mean, Mean Girls is too, but Mean Girls, the movie, the original movie, was, like, you know, my dad liked that movie as a adult man. Like, you know, I mean, in the same way, my dad is, like, you know, my dad is comfortable, like, you know, he enjoys Pitch Perfect. My dad likes chick flicks.
My dad loved Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect's such a good movie.
It's so good.
Oh, I'm predicting they're gonna just make another Pitch Perfect.
I'm looking at the movie list now, I didn't see anything.
That's what you think, it's gonna come out.
It's just gonna spawn. Okay, I got another one to discuss.
They'll announce another one. But anyway, just to finish the statement on Mean Girls, I think people are gonna be disappointed on how young the attempted audience is at that, but I don't know, we'll see what happens. I'm really excited for that, though. I am gonna go see it.
It's, me too. It's, okay, this one's gonna be fun. It Ends With Us.
Oh my god, they made the Colleen Hoover books into movies.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know.
It comes out in like less than 2 months.
I'm gonna cry. Sorry, this is a Colleen Hoover hate club.
Agreed. I think it's gonna totally suck.
Oh god, no. No, you can't make a Colleen Hoover book good. Full shade. If I get canceled for this, I get canceled for this.
And like, book movie... releases generally aren't that good, especially if the book's not that good. I haven't read it, but I do know, like, you know, the plot, and I know your opinion on it. I've heard other opinions on it. Just the vibes. It's gonna suck.
Colleen Hoover appeals to people. This is a little adult for our podcast, so I apologize. A little bit of a warning for that. Colleen Hoover appeals to people who want to read smut, but don't want to feel like they're just reading smut.
Yeah, no, she tries to pretend like it's so much deeper than it is.
Yeah. Like, listen, no judgment if you are picking up a romance book because you know it is 90% smut and, you know, porn with a plot and you're having fun.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
No judgment, yeah.
Colleen Hoover is badly written smut under the guise of a deeper meaning and plot.
No, and because I... haven't read it, but from what I've seen, I can tell that, especially since it's portraying an abusive relationship, the sex scenes are kind of ridiculous. Pun intended.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's weird. It's a weird combination. And I don't know. That's just me. Are you even gonna go see it?
God, no. I will read those reviews. I didn't even get to see The Waitress, like, pro shot that came out. It bombed. I think because they didn't market that very well at all. But I didn't even get to see The Waitress pro shot, so that was sad. No, I'm not spending my money to go see It Ends With Us. Are you kidding me? What else is on there?
There's gonna be a Garfield movie.
Oh, that's either gonna be wonderful and, like, super nostalgic and sweet, or it's gonna be the worst thing you've ever laid eyes on in your life.
No, yeah, because sometimes they do it right. Like, with stuff like that, like the Peanuts movie. That was great.
Weird association, but you know what? The new Wonka movie, I just saw it last weekend. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Okay, it actually... A lot of people were like, oh, it looks like Chalamet's just doing a bad Gene Wilder impression kind of thing. It actually hit the right nostalgic beats.
Oh, I know. It's got crazy high rate. It's like 85%.
It was actually so good. It's like, it felt nostalgic without feeling like pandering and recalled a bunch of things from the original movies without you actually needing, in like the original stories, because I'm saying, you know, it was the movie and the story and everything. And it recalled a bunch of things from that without you needing to like rewatch or reread the book to remember like, what happened, like, how does this all connect? Oh, it kind of retconned the Oompa Loompa thing. because it's a business partnership in the new one.
With Hugh Grant.
With Hugh Grant. With Hugh Grant is a great Oompa Loompa.
Oh, no, because his face is just funny. I'm not saying he's bad looking. I don't think he's bad looking. But he just he's good at making his facial expressions funny.
He was the best Oompa Loompa. No, and a lot of people were like, oh, I'm not going to be able to see Chalamet as anything but Chalamet. And maybe this is because I actually just haven't seen other Chalamet movies. I actually haven't. I realized this was my first Chalamet movie. But I completely lost him in the character. Like, I was like, yeah, this is Willy. This is Willy Wonka. I haven't seen Lady Bird.
Lady Bird is so good. It's one of my favorite movies.
No, because it's like Lady Bird, Little Women, Call Me by Your Name. I feel like those... I know, but like I feel like those are three movies that like everyone of my generation has seen, and I haven't seen any of them, but you know I don't do a ton of movies.
You need to listen to the cast of the Garfield movie. You ready?
Oh,
you
ready? God.
It's crazy. Chris Pratt, Samuel L. Jackson, Bowen Yang, Cecily Strong.
Damn!
Uh-huh. That makes me think it's at least decent.
They're dipping into that SNL pool.
Mama, I love Cecily Strong.
Call me too.
She's... Yeah.
Real.
I'm not even gonna edit out that pause.
Yeah.
I feel like it's... Okay, gonna find more. Well. Inside Out 2.
Okay, based on the teaser of that, I actually think it's gonna be really cute. I think...
I totally forgot it was happening.
Me too. But I think it could be good if they approach it right. I'm worried it's going to feel like pandering and they're going to try to make people, you know, have the same emotional reaction they had to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think it's good to have more movies where kids can, like, address the really complex emotions of...
Anxiety.
Anxiety. But, like, the growing up in general, like, frick yeah, let's address that. Let's talk about that because it's...
Hell yeah.
Frick yeah. Leave me alone. Like I said, my vocabulary has gotten weird in the past couple months.
Yep. Not even gonna defend you on that one.
Yeah. No, it's... Let's talk about how complicated emotions get as you grow up, because no matter how prepared you are for them, they're still gonna suck, but if you see a character you can connect to on TV dealing with them, that's gonna be a lot better for...
It's like how Kurt Hummel and Santana on Glee were so revolutionary.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they might not have been the best representation, but, you know...
I think they were good.
Oh, no,
especially for 2009.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, by modern standards, the best representation.
Especially Santana.
Yeah,
because she's not stereotypical lesbian.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that's why Kurt, he is a very...
But the thing is, every single character in Glee is a stereotype. That's the point.
We had a whole episode about Glee, didn't we?
Did we?
Not a whole episode, but we had one dedicated culture.
To problematic media.
But yeah, no, that I completely agree. It is good to see representation, and that includes of emotions, because also a lot of times things that talk about anxiety and depression tend to be marketed towards adults, or at least young adults, like high school. It's like the show Never Have I Ever. I'm sorry, this is a whole tangent. I love that show. It's completely over. They're not making a new season. This has nothing to do with 2024. I love that show because I clicked on it thinking it was going to be another,
teeny bopper.
Yeah. Cute Netflix, like, you know, a little adult. There is a lot of talk about, like, sex, hookups, etc. But another just high school...
Cute. Not particularly silly. Deep.
I sobbed every season of that show. That show handles...
I haven't seen it.
It's so good. It talks a lot about grief and the difficulty of dealing with high school with a complicated family relationship. And it's actually really powerful. And, like, it still is silly. It is still fun. There's still a lot of, like, laughing moments. There's still a lot of secondhand embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
But, I like that it has both. It appeals to a younger audience than, like, the ones that are made strictly for adults and that are just, look at how dark and dreary and let's dramatize these hard emotions. No, let's talk about them.
We don't have time to get into this fully, and it's not related to the topic, but I think that people tend to underestimate media with a young female protagonist.
Real.
Yeah, I, just think about it, because, I don't know, it's just a tendency I've noticed.
Back
just a couple
2024
more movies.
Yes.
Lion King prequel called Mufasa.
awful.
Yeah.
wait. Let me see if it's computer animated. Can't tell.
Wait, is it... Yeah, I was gonna say...
Because if it's, like, in the same style, I feel like that'd be fun. Maybe not it revolutionary be, amazing, but...
It could be fun and nostalgic, and it could be, like... You ever watch the Little Mermaid sequel?
No, but I have seen the Mulan sequel.
Almost every of those classic Disney movies that you think about, Little Mermaid, Mulan, Aladdin, even The Lion King, they have sequels. Some of them have a third one. There's a reason you don't hear about them as much as the original movies, and this strikes me as that.
Those are direct-to-video. That's why you don't hear it.
Yeah.
Are they? Yeah, they are. Most of them. One's not. This one's in theaters.
Yeah. Still. I have minimal hope for it.
Did you ever read Harold the Purple Crayon? Or do you recall it, at least?
I remember it.
They're making a movie of that in August.
Cute. I think it'll be cute. That'll be fun. But not much to write home about.
Mm-hmm. New Alien movie. Can we just stop doing that? No.
Bad.
No, and the last, like, three Alien movies have been bad. We should have left it. Maybe at the second one. Because Aliens is pretty good. But... No,
there's
no.
There's something I saw an ad for that was coming out in the new year that I'm trying to remember what it was.
Cause... They just get weirder and weirder. Beetlejuice 2?
What?
You haven't heard about that? They got, like, almost all of the original cast
back. I feel like I remember hearing about that. That'll be interesting. Depends on what they do plot-wise. Because
it's been so long.
Yeah.
By this point, it'll have been 40 years since the original came out.
I think it's the same issue or situation as, like,
or almost.
Wonka, in that it could be really good and it could just be, like, you know... They're going to have to walk the fine line of how do you do, like, the fan service without feeling, like, pandering. It'll be interesting to see.
Here's the big one, the one you've all been waiting for, Wicked.
It's taking too long. I'm going to say it. Like, I think Ariana Grande is going to be an incredible Glinda. I'm really excited for that. She and Kristen Chenoweth are best friends, and, like, they were working together on her Glinda.
Well, yeah, they'd have to be. But I love Ariana Grande's singing voice. It's not Glinda. It's too... thick. I don't know a better way to say that. I've never heard her try to do Glinda, and I bet she could, but as far as I am imagining it, I can't.
I am excited to see it. I think it's taking a little too long, and so it's going to struggle to get its audience.
The iron will not be hot.
The issue, I think, with that is the fact that they're doing it in two parts, which frankly makes sense for how big of a musical that is. Like, I understand why that needs two parts. It shouldn't. It's a 2.5-hour musical put in a movie. You're fine. Yeah.
New Lord of the Rings.
What?
It's animated.
Hold on, let me see this.
Yeah.
The untold story behind Helm's Deep, the fortress at the center of the Two Towers film.
That'll be interesting, because that is one of those, like, unanswered questions a little bit, I'm pretty sure. It's been a while since I've seen them, don't at me.
Because you're not a big Star Wars person, but think about how good Rogue One was, and that was an unanswered question, and it was amazing.
So yeah, it'll depend on how they approach it.
Okay.
I think they've been saying that about all of these, because that's really the thing.
Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Yes! So excited! That's gonna kill!
Slap! Hey, don't get too excited. They haven't even announced the date yet.
I'm gonna cry!
Mm-hmm.
If y'all saw the last one, you understand. A couple people in my dorm hadn't seen it yet, and so they'd been watching it in the dorm, and I walked in just to watch them watch the last 5 minutes.
Mm.
If you've seen the movie, you know.
It's wild. The last 5 minutes? Weird.
But just the way that ends, because it ends on a huge cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wait. Celebrity predictions.
Wait, hold on. Can we make...
Had to do it. Oh, no!
Can we make quick TV show predictions? I only want to talk about one. Bridgerton, season 3, parts 1 and 2.
They're doing it in parts?
They're doing it in two parts, but I have heard so much because there are certain scenes from the book that everyone remembers from, like, the book that this season 3 is going to be based off of. It's Penelope's season. And I love Penelope. I love the actress. She is gorgeous. Oh my lord. And I am so excited to have a season focused on her.
Wasn't that a controversial thing, though?
What? Really? Why would it be?
Hold on. Well, let me just Google who Penelope. I only watched the first season.
Okay. I am really excited, though, but there's certain scenes that in some of, like, the teasers and promos and stuff, you can kind of tell they might be doing those scenes that are very spicy.
No, because I was dead ass about to be like, just say it. I know Bridgerton.
It's Bridgerton. But, like, season two of Bridgerton did not actually have a lot until the, like, the last two episodes. And I liked that. It wasn't relevant to the plot.
It's a little break.
Yeah. It wasn't relevant to the plot. It wasn't necessary. I think in season three it is a little more. I think Penelope is always kind of framed as... I've recently rewatched Bridgerton, but Penelope is always phrased as, like, in the most literal sense, because she has red hair, the red-headed stepchild of the family. Obviously, she's not actually a stepchild, but if you know the expression.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the reason it's controversial is because of those spicy scenes, and a bunch of terrible people think that's weird because she's not a size 2.
Yeah.
That's why it was controversial, so no good reason.
Yeah. But there was a promo where it was just them, like, behind the scenes thing, and you can see a handprint on the glass of the carriage.
Oh, and everyone's giving Titanic.
Everyone's talking about the carriage scene in the book, apparently, is, like, iconic.
Love it.
So, I'm really excited for season three. I like that it's in two parts, but it makes me so worried, because you know they're gonna end part one on a cliffhanger, especially with them being less than a month apart. Or it might be, like, just over a month apart, but one comes out May, one comes out June. You know that part one is going to end on a cliffhanger, and you know it's going to kill me.
One quick TV show prediction, because I want to get to celebrities.
Yeah.
Really hope, this is half a prediction, half hope, more Samantha in And Just Like That. That is it. Sex and the City. The new Sex and the City show. It is awful. I still watch every week. I still looked forward to it. I don't care. These are characters I care about and characters I want to keep up with. Please, more Samantha. Please. Okay, anyway.
I hope there are more... Okay, this is going to sound so awful. I need Netflix to start making some more cheesy rom-coms. Listen, they're awful. They're awful. Nothing brings me more joy than, like, staying in with a couple friends, eating, like, Chinese food on the floor of our dorm, and watching the worst.
That's vaguely what we're doing tonight. No Chinese food, no dorm, but...
Yeah. But watching, like, awful...
We're gonna watch Glee, aren't we?
Yeah, we're watching Glee. Okay. Watching just awful chick flicks, though, like, it brings me so much joy. I love the rom-coms. I rewatched all of To All the Boys I Love, all three movies, good lord, while I was packing for... Winter break.
The kissing booth. It was bad, but I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
It was just fun. It's not high art. It's fun. Alright, celebrities. Most important one, Taylor and Travis Kelce.
What are you thinking?
I think they're adorable. I'm not sure about lasting power. I think they are a very cute couple. It seems like he is very much a change of pace with her, just in the way he carries himself. And, you know, he's not some sort of skinny teeny bopper. He seems more appropriate for her, but I also think that their relationship has been very public, and her relationship, long-term relationship before this, was not public at all. I'm not sure if she's returning to old habits.
Interesting.
And in her history, her more private relationships have lasted longer. Calvin Harris and Joe Alwyn. Not that Calvin Harris was totally private, but it was more so than the other ones. But also, I don't know. I hope it works. I want her to be happy.
I think they're going to last the majority of the year. I think especially once football season is over, they might be a little less public because she's going to not be at his games anymore. And although, don't get me wrong, every time my parents have the Chiefs on and then... My mom always, like, taps me and goes, look, it's Taylor!
I love her.
It's so like, sweet.
Okay, but that's a really interesting point, because I haven't thought about this. Her boyfriends that have been more, like, bigger stars have been more public. Because not that, I'm just going to say it, Joe Alwyn's not super famous. He's an actor, but, like, name one thing he's in.
I literally couldn't name him outside of Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can name one thing he's in, but most people... can't. It's this conversion therapy movie. I don't know.
You're also a movie nerd.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, Calvin Harris is famous, but he's not a singer. He's a producer. So he's not as famous as a Jonas Brother or Harry Styles or anything like that. So, but Travis Kelce is...
Yeah. I think once
on the
football
Chiefs, no doubt.
Yeah. Once football season's over... once football season's over, I think their relationship will be a little less public. Like, I don't think they're gonna start hiding it, because everyone knows that there's not much point in that, but I think it's not gonna be as much of constant coverage, because she's not going to be going to his games anymore, because there won't be the games.
Yeah.
I think he probably will still be there. I think he'll be there when she announces Rep TV.
Okay, wait. More so about Taylor personally, because we don't have to be talking about her and her boyfriend. Do you think she's going to finish TV by the end of 2024?
I think.
In her history, 2 a year, 2 left.
I'm going to say she's going to spread it out, though. I keep seeing people predicting Taylor Swift 11, like her 11th album coming out.
Yeah, because like Midnights.
Yeah. I'm thinking we get Rep TV next. All the people who are predicting her new, like, the 11th album coming out, I'm sorry, they're kind of clowning a little bit. I think we get Rep TV before we get 11. I think she does end with debut.
That makes the most sense, but I also feel like it might be a little predictable for her. She is not predictable.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Every time she makes, every time she, like, scratches her head, there's 20 new theories online. I don't...
So real.
Yeah.
I keep seeing everyone predicting New Year's Day for a Rep TV announcement. I feel like that's...
That'd be...
It's a little too obvious, though, I think.
It's pretty obvious, but it also would work.
But also, she announced 1989 on August 9th.
Oh. 89. Yeah, that's... Okay, but that's so her.
It was so... Like, I No, because I called it, too. I told my mom. I looked at her on the 8th. It was like, hey, Mom, I think Taylor Swift's going to announce 1989 Taylor's version tomorrow, because that's both my mom and I's favorite album. Mm. And then, lo and behold...
I'm really excited for the vault tracks for a reputation. And honestly, for a debut. Because she wrote really crazy, unhinged stuff when she was, like, 15. So, didn't we all? But, like, it's... So, yeah, I'm excited for both of those.
I'm gonna lose my shit to those vault tracks. I'm telling you right now.
No,
you
know. Because they're gonna be so horny. At least one of them is going to be so R-rated.
I personally am ready to redo my Reputation era. Frankly, I think that'll be great for me.
Girl, you need to find your Joe Allen first.
Girl, you're so right. Hey, listeners of this podcast, someone should date me or and break up with me just so I can have a Rep TV era.
Josephine Allen. Whichever.
It's okay. I'm pretty comfortable in the idea that I like both genders.
I like that. That's good. Okay, any other celebrities we can think of?
Oh, I keep seeing Sabrina Carpenter predictions. Who was it? I saw a prediction.
She's getting bigger and bigger.
She's getting bigger. I think Sabrina Carpenter is going to be, like, Artist of the Year or some shit. I think she's going to have a huge blow up.
Okay.
Like, she's big already, but I think she's going to have some, like, song that just goes insanely viral, like, bigger than nonsense. I think she's going to have a blow up.
I would call her, just because I don't think she's fully moved into it enough, I would call her a B+ list celebrity. I think she's gonna move into A range.
Yeah. I saw a prediction, I'm trying to remember who it was, that they were predicting a Sabrina Carpenter, maybe it was Olivia Rodrigo duet.
Interesting.
That would slap. You know it would.
Interesting. Okay.
But it's like, they have very different vibes. That's the only thing.
Here's one that could be really controversial. Do you think there's gonna be some sort of Lizzo redemption arc?
Yeah, widely accepted it was false, and those who, like, have legal experience, I remember seeing some videos looking at the lawsuit, and they're like, this is not a solid lawsuit.
Well, and, like, other dancers who don't work for her anymore, so they don't have an obligation to say this, has said this is not true, that she's the coolest person alive. The two dancers who originally made the lawsuit have been changing their story constantly. I think that the stage has been set for it to happen. I'm not positive it will, because people like to stay mad at one thing. Especially if the person it's towards belongs to several minority groups.
Real.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for redemption arc, because I do like her.
I bet if we do get a Lizzo redemption arc, we're gonna get some killer music out of that shit.
No, because... Okay, wait. I expect... Because this has been a trend, and I think it's gonna continue. Megan Thee Stallion to do a bunch more unexpected collabs.
The Megan Thee Stallion Renee rap came out of nowhere. No, it was so lapsed.
No, because that is such a random combination of people. Like, I love those random combinations tend to be good songs. Like, think about Endgame, Taylor Swift. Like, that is Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and Future. They just tossed some people in a hat and drew them out. That's so weird.
Going off of, like, our current music topic, just general trend predictions. I think folk music's gonna really come into play. It already started.
Well, it did in 2020.
2020? Yeah, I was gonna say, it's already starting to right now with NoahCon, like the modern folk, not proper folk. NoahCon and, like, Hozier's music. Hozier isn't proper folk.
Phoebe Bridgers.
And you know what I think? And I hate to say this. The Crane Wives keep almost blowing up on TikTok, and I think it's gonna happen. They're about to release... I think they're gonna release a new album in 2024, or at least announce it, because they played, like, 4 new songs at the concert I went to, and they have a different set list for every concert, so they've been doing a lot of new music.
That's a weird way of handling it. I'm not saying bad, it's just most... a different set list every night is a little uncommon, and I'm not sure... It's definitely a risk to take if you're trying to broaden your audience, and I'm not sure how it's gonna go.
Well, when they're playing, you know, 50-person venues... that are all sold out, because they did have a sold out tour. But I think they're gonna blow up.
Well, was it like an arena tour? Or a...
No, but I'm saying 50 person audiences.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean. Because it sold out so quickly, I don't think it's a ton of, oh, let's see who's playing in like DC tonight. Let's go to a random concert, see like new artists. It's mostly people who are already huge fans of their music. I know this because at the concert, everybody I talked to, we were comparing like albums. How did we first get into them? What are our favorite songs? And every person was like, oh, this one, or this one, or this one. Anyway, though, I think they're gonna release a new album. I think they're gonna have something that blows up on TikTok. And I think the Crane Wives, I don't think they're gonna become like A-list celebrities or suddenly, but I think with the current like enjoyment of folk music, the Crane Wives are gonna get a lot bigger, and I am gonna hate it. I'm not a fan of gatekeeping, but for the record, I've been listening to them since 2020.
I liked it before it was cool.
Yeah, I know. I hate the...
It's okay. I have a lot of time
like that. I liked it before it was cool because, like, I do want them to get big. I want them to be successful. But at the same time, I don't want everyone to be like, oh, did you learn them from TikTok? No, I didn't. I liked them in 2020. Screw you. Thank you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
All right, we had to switch to my phone because Lilia's was starting to die, but we have just accepted that this is kind of a long episode, so we're going to do some Grammy predictions. All right, record of the year, we have...
Oh, we're also doing Met Gala predictions, because didn't they already announce the theme?
I think so.
We're doing Met Gala predictions.
Okay, record of the year nominations, Worship by John Batiste, Not Strong Enough, Boy Genius, Flowers, Miley Cyrus, What Was I Made For... My Mama, Victoria Monet, Vampire, Olivia Rodrigo, Anti-Hero, Taylor Swift, Kill Bill, SZA.
I'm gonna say it's between What Was I Made For, Vampire, and Anti-Hero. But that also might just be, I know those three very well.
Do you know the difference between Record of the Year and Song of the Year?
I do not.
Record of the Year is about production. It is about the sound of the song, not about songwriting, not about anything like that.
What Was I Made For? That is my prediction.
Or Anti-Hero.
Yeah, I think it's close.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those, I feel like. Okay, but I have this weird feeling John Batiste is gonna win again. Because I texted you that... No, because literally... Yeah, you're like, I don't even know. I texted you that thing that, like, the R&B artist, her. This is not any shade buttoning against her, but she was a Grammy darling. She was winning so many Grammys for just out of nowhere. And people... at the Academy started to realize that people were realizing that she was a Grammy darling, and then they switched to John Batiste.
Oh my god, you're so right. You didn't text me about that. I still don't know who John Batiste is.
He won Album of the Year.
He won Album of the Year. That doesn't mean
No. That was not something about you. That was about how you don't even know who he is, and he won Album of the Year, and that's so wild to me.
I do think Taylor Swift's gonna have some insane Grammy amounts.
I don't think she's gonna sweep, but...
I don't think it's a full sweep, but I do think she's gonna do well.
Okay, Album of the Year, a big one. World Music Radio, John Batiste. The Record, Boy Genius, ugh.
What's the Boy Genius reaction?
I can't stand stuff with all lowercase. It drives me so crazy, and I literally type in all lowercase, but music, it's blah.
Okay, wait, jumping back to our Reputation conversation then.
Huh, but the song titles aren't all lowercase.
Do you think Reputation Taylor's version is going to be lowercase or uppercase? I saw people debating this. Like,
I feel like lowercase. Like, because she tries to keep it as similar as possible. And that's an easy thing to keep similar, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Endless Summer Vacation, Miley Cyrus. Did you know that there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard, Lana Del Rey? She has such weird album titles.
She does.
Age of Pleasure, Janelle Monáe. Guts, Olivia Rodrigo. Midnight's, Taylor. SOS, SZA. I am sensing a trend. Okay, but with what the Grammys have started to focus on in recent years.
I also know nothing about award show. Please know that, like, I am not the award show friend here.
With the Grammys starting to focus on artistic diversity in recent years, I think Janelle Monáe's got a shot.
I hope so. Honestly, I think if Janelle, because we were talking about this earlier, like needing like Janelle Monáe to get like even bigger kind of
thing.
Yeah,
we were.
Because we're, again, this goes to like, let's bring back super colorful, vibrant styles that fits Janelle Monáe more.
Like, yeah. I feel like Guts is too new to win.
Yeah.
Like it hasn't been around.
Also, segment of genre that deserves to like not be looked down upon just because it's teenage girl music, but angry teenage girl music doesn't feel like a Grammy winning. That just feels, it's fun, good quality, enjoyable.
Well, okay, I'm just thinking about when Taylor had to do this. What do you think it's gonna be like when she does transition into more adult woman music?
That's why I think that could be, no, because Sabrina Carpenter is still, but she isn't teenage girl in the same way. Sabrina Carpenter songs tend to be very, at least the ones I know of her. I don't know her well, but she has a lot of fairly sexual songs. I'm thinking she's gonna do something like that. Like, maybe not with Sabrina Carpenter, but
I
like,
know she's talked about like original lyrics in her songs kind of being like that, and changing it because of her parents. But as she gets older, it might get.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be, she's gonna do some duet.
Sorry, sudden cut. My dad just walked in. Continue. Do you remember where you were?
Not even slightly.
Me either.
We're talking about, like, Olivia Rodrigo's got a few years.
Moving into adult woman music.
I do think we're gonna get some new content from her this year, especially with the, like, I know we just got an album from her, but she doesn't seem like the kind of person who's gonna wait years in between albums.
She waited 2 years between Sarah and Guts.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get a whole new album, but I think we're gonna get some content, because she's picking up steam, especially with the new Hunger Games movie. I loved that movie so much. I don't think it does the book justice. I think that story needs Snow's inner monologue, but I loved the movie. I loved the music from the movie. It was very good. I think Olivia Rodrigo is picking up too much steam to, like, go quiet for that long. She does have a tour, so I guess that'll satisfy that.
Mm.
She's a tour this year, and it's big.
Yeah, but a lot of people have some opinions about that tour, because a lot of people say she's not a very good live singer.
I think I think that's good that she's sticking with, like, the teenage girl music, because teenage girl music doesn't require...
It sells.
It sells, and it doesn't require a ton of vocal... I don't want to say skill.
A lot of her songs are yelly.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can get away with yelly songs. It's kind of like... Like I said, I kind of want to release some music this year. My music is very talk-singy folk music, because I have my natural voice and my singing voice. Sometimes, especially in the range I tend to go for, comes across as a little gravelly. Once I get higher, it sounds a little too clean to have matched the lower voice. It's a little weird. I have a long history of weird vocal stuff. So I tend to stick with talk singing folk music, because that works for my vocal style. I think the angry teenage girl music works for her vocal, like, sound, and she should stick with it for as long as she possibly can.
Like, the songwriter wins the award. Yeah. Record of the year is about production, song as a whole. So, nominations. A&W by Lana Del Rey, if you don't know.
Lana's been pretty dang big this year. I haven't been listening to a lot of Lana, and I know she's always been big, but
are you a Lana?
What?
Person?
No.
But you kind of said that like you sometimes do listen to a lot of her.
My childhood best friend, she's a huge Lana fan, so I have always heard some music just from her, but at college, one of my professors started talking about Lana, and like, all of my friends, they're like, oh yeah, they just know Lana. I've been hearing her name a ton lately. Anyway.
I feel like it's been a while of most people at least knowing who she is.
Yeah, but knowing who she is, yes, but talking about her, writing about, like, whether or not you're a Lana fan on your whiteboard, like, that, it's a little bigger than just knowing who she is recently.
I don't know this specific song. Grammys don't tend to let dirtier songs win. And a lot of Lana stuff is pretty.
True.
Anti-Hero. I think it's got a shot.
This, you said this one's songwriting? Then yeah. Anti-Hero definitely is a shot.
Mm-hmm. Butterfly, John Batiste. Don't know it.
Don't know it.
I have heard he is talented. It's just no one knows who he is.
Literally, if a single person... I'm going to make it the Q&A for the... You know how this has the feature for the Q&A?
Have you heard a John Batiste song?
Have you heard anything by John Batiste? That is... It's a good song. It is not a songwriting awards winning song. It's a fun song.
It's that one should be more up for record of the year, honestly.
Yeah.
Flowers. Miley Cyrus.
Interesting.
I don't know. Mid chance. Middle level chance.
It feels like the kind of thing that people listen to once and are like, damn, this is deep, and then you listen to it twice and you're like, oh, was it deep?
Kill Bill. Vampire.
I think that has a solid shot because of how big it was.
It was massive. But I don't know about it for a songwriting award because it is teen girl music. And there is not rightfully a tendency to discredit that.
Yeah. I agree.
What was I made for?
I think that has a good shot.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
I think it comes down to Anti-Hero and What Was I Made For.
Okay, yeah, good guess. I guess Butterfly by Jean Batiste, because apparently he wins everything now.
Yeah. The real guess is Jean Batiste sweeps.
Okay, Best New Artist. This is going to be the last one, I think, because that's all the big ones. I don't know who a lot of these people are, but I also do know who some of these are, and they're not new. Okay, Gracie Abrams.
Oh, I do actually know her.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Fred again. Dot, dot, dot.
How is that spelled?
Fred. Again.
Huh.
No.
I'll die, I'll drunk, I die, drunk, I die for you. I cannot believe, I was literally talking about how popular Nova's Con has gotten earlier this episode.
You don't think Ice Spice?
I think it comes down to Nova Con or Ice Spice, but Nova Con's gotten huge this year. This is what I'm talking about, the resurgence of folk music.
Victoria Monet?
Never heard of her.
She's not new. She's written so many songs that you know, but just not sang. The Warren Treaty.
Again, never heard of it.
Okay. I think, I guess, Ice Spice is my top guess. Because Best New Artist is how much they have impacted, like, radio and how much reach they've... Like, this award is a little more about popularity.
Noah Khan's gotten huge, you just don't know him.
I'm really not sure about that. Damn, I don't have my phone.
He was touring with Hozier. He's duetting with Hozier. I don't think he was touring with Hozier, but I know he was, like, doing songs with Hozier. They've been performing together, at least I've seen some videos at, like, music festivals and stuff. He was not headlining music festivals, because Hozier was headlining it, but, like, you know, the second line of the music festival lineup.
And I'm gonna look on Spotify, see how out of it I am, and, like, see his monthly listeners. Oh, he does not look how I expected him to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Alright, let's see these monthly listeners. 27 million?
That's what I mean!
Is he ranked in the world? Wow, 198. Damn. Okay, let's look at Ice Spice.
I was not making this up. I think Ice Spice...
Oh my God, he's got more than Ice Spice!
What did I tell you?
I mean, okay, maybe I thought that because I am kind of a rap music person.
I was going to say, I am definitely more Noah Khan vibes, you were definitely more Ice Spice vibes. This does not surprise me at all.
Thank you.
Just in who you'd listen to. That's what I mean. Like, you listen to Noah Khan, it's very much acoustic guitar and just singing with it.
I like
it's,
getting hype.
It's my vibe, and Ice Spice is, like, rap stuff that you'd like.
I like getting hype.
We know.
Y'all can't see my facial expressions. But, yeah, I think it's between those two. Because, like, the last winners of this have been, like, crazy famous people. Like, I know it was Billie Eilish 1 year, I know it was Megan Thee Stallion 1 year.
Love Megan.
Megan. I love Megan so much. I said predictions, unexpected collab from Megan.
Okay. And my biggest question for Met Gala.
Sleeping Beauties, reawakening fashion.
Oh, my biggest question for Met Gala is who do you think is going to have the best outfit? Or like what celebrities do you think are going to come in and killing it? And who do you think is going to have the most controversial outfit? That is all I want to talk about. Because you think about like Kim K in the Marilyn Monroe dress.
I don't understand why that was so controversial. It's a dress.
It's a dress.
As someone who loves Marilyn Monroe.
I get
that. I think the thing that should have been more controversial is the crazy dieting stuff she did before that.
Yeah.
I think that is much more...
I think it should have been controversial, the idea of, like, having to do that to, like, fit into the dress more than the fact that, like, oh no, she stretched the dress. Like, it's a dress. I do kind of agree with that. Anyway, though, who do you think is going to have the most controversy? Who do you think is going to be the best dressed?
Okay, controversy...
I just say that because I feel like there's always some Met Gala controversy. Controversy.
Gaga.
Gaga?
Mm-hmm. Because this is Sleeping Beauty's reawakening fashion. It's like old trends. Gaga always goes a little slutty. Not in a bad way. Like, she tends to wear something pretty revealing. And I think people might be like...
Yeah, I think Gaga. I think you're right. Oh, I just know... Megan normally goes to this, right? Like, Megan Thee Stallion? Yeah. I think Megan's gonna slay this.
Megan's gonna own it.
I'm just... Because I know she's gonna have something super creative, like a redo in some old trend. I just know it. Yes?
Billy Porter's might be controversial. But it's gonna be awesome, too.
Real.
Yeah, Billy Porter is going to be controversial and awesome. And, oh, okay, wait. One more prediction with this. It's reawakening fashion, so I think it's kind of like older style. Which decade do you think people are gonna do the most? 20s.
I'm thinking 20s, 50s are going to be the most popular. I'm betting you're going to get at least one that's Regency or Victorian.
Mm.
Like, I'm
hoping for a really cool 80s one, because that would be out of, like, give us some Grace Jones vibes. Yeah. Give us...
I think we get a lot of, like, stuff from the, you know, 20s, 50s, 80s. I think that's, we're going to get a lot of that. I do agree that an 80s look would be cool.
I don't think there's going to be as many as the 20s thinking, or 50s, though.
Wasn't it a Billie Eilish look that she really went... I might be wrong.
How do you think Doja's gonna do? Because hers have been good yet controversial every year.
I think Doja's gonna get some controversy with this one, but mm-hmm. I think hers...
But she's got a really... Like, she can absolutely pull off, like, 50s fashion. She's got the vibes for it. I bet some...
Yeah, I was right. It was Billie Eilish who did the little bit of, like, the 2022 Met Gala look that kind of seems a little historical inspired.
Do you think anyone's gonna do Josephine Baker? This is a pretty iconic picture. It was this lady a long time ago who wore a banana skirt and not much else and did a whole show with it. It was very controversial, but so iconic.
I'd love it if they did that.
If someone did that. They'd have to do it right, though.
Yeah. You gotta walk the line between honoring the person and not stealing the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And making it crazy enough for the Met Gala.
Yeah. You gotta make it Met Gala worthy.
Covering the breasts a bit more. Because that might be a little...
Also, the men... Because I just know there are gonna be some celebrity men who are just wearing an out-of-date suit.
I know, that's why I felt the need to bring up Billy Porter, because he's one of the only ones who doesn't.
I think Chalamet might have something interesting, because I feel like Chalamet sometimes does something interesting.
It's usually just a suit, though. Like, sometimes it's a suit with a print on it, but... Which is good for the guys, but...
I want to see... Here, let me rephrase that. I don't know if he will do something interesting, but I want to see Chalamet do something interesting. Mm-hmm. Taylor doesn't normally go to the Met Gala.
She hasn't been in a few years. But
I want to see her at the Met Gala. I just want to see what she'd do.
I think she'll go. I think Kardashians might do this pretty well.
Yeah. I think...
Of them were invited last year.
Yeah. I think we're going to get some good Kardashian outfits. I'm excited for Met Gala.
Me too. Do you remember that one day freshman year where we just went through them all in class?
You and I are FaceTiming and we're going to go through the Met Gala looks.
Party. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so this is going to be a very long episode, like 2 or 3 times the length of our normal episode, so I think we should wrap it up. We've been talking our butts off.
God, yeah.
Okay, well, welcome to the first DSS double episode.
We're in person, and it's a new year. It's a special occasion. Yeah. This is our holiday episode. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Okay, so I hope you guys enjoyed this.
Thank you so much for listening to this whole thing if you got this far.
Mm-hmm, if you made it this far. But I think we did pretty well at being engaging.
Yeah. We switched topics. It's so much easier.
So, yeah. There's our episode.
I've been Lilia.
I've been Eleanor.
Bye.